you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your disgusting boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Hugged.
It's the anti-slut shaming. I think maybe we can say slut. I'm deciding. It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show.
If you want to write us an email, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line was appropriately assigned to me. I pretend to be asleep so I could spy on my boyfriend masturbating. Corinne and Christina, I'm a 26-year-old female in a 3-year relationship with a 31-year-old male. We moved in with each other after around a year, and it's been lovely. We have sex just about every day, and honestly, living together has been a breeze. We both are very horny, and the sex is always fun, and no, I'm not allowing this fact to overshadow a bunch of red flags or anything. Long story short, I once accidentally walked in on my boyfriend masturbating in the shower, and now I can't stop spying. I need to paint the picture because I find the details are pretty funny. In important context, my boyfriend's vision is -7 in both eyes. That is so fucking blind. I'm a -6.5, and I can tell you that there could be a person in front of me when I don't have my contacts out, and I can't tell. So he gets up before me every morning to shower and gets ready for work. He goes into the city most days, and I work remotely. And even though I don't physically get out of bed when his alarm goes off, I am awake and typically just hang out in bed until he's done showering. Until a couple weeks ago, I had to pee, so I knocked on the door to ask if I could come in, something we agreed on since both of us have accidentally walked in on each other pooping. I guess since the shower was running, he couldn't hear me, so I fully opened the door and took a full step into the bathroom to ask again when I saw him full on watching porn and masturbating in the shower. How do you watch porn in the shower?
Oh, you can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have full phone conversations in the shower.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I just shower. The best part about this is that his eyesight, and I guess his hearing, is so bad that he never saw me come in. I slowly shut the door to a crack that I could peek in and watch him through the mirror. Typing out this, I feel like I sound incredibly creepy, but I am getting horny thinking about it now. Since then, a couple of times a week, when his alarm goes off, I pretend to still be asleep, wait to hear the shower running, and then peek in to see if he's doing it, which he is 50% of the time. After he leaves for work, I masturbate thinking about it. Him getting off and thinking he's sneaking it from me for some reason makes me very horny. I totally get that. When I started writing this, I didn't really have a question for you, but now I'm wondering if you think I should stop because it's a violation of his privacy. I don't think he would be mad or anything, but maybe a little embarrassed since it's such an intimate thing with himself. Although I thoroughly enjoy watching him do this, I will actually take your advice as I have enough material in the spank bank. I gotta say, if I found out my boyfriend was like spying on me, masturbating, I can't tell if I would think that's like that was my time that I thought I was not being watched and I am being watched. Like, ugh, gross. But also, if it makes you horny, it makes you horny. So I don't know. I can't really tell how I feel about that. I know you're just doing it because it makes you horny and you're like, hee, which I totally do. And honestly, I would probably do it too. As I also think it's horny, like, you know, I get the idea of like watching somebody, not knowing they're being watched and like thinking they're sneaking, but you know, I think that's hot. So I don't know. What do you think, Corinne?
I mean, think of all that. Just think of all the scenarios. Like if this was flipped, like if a man was just leading his life, if he was horny, I mean, it's a huge violation of his privacy. There's absolutely no, to me, there's no gray area. It's a huge violation. The fact about whether or not he would be mad is not what you're asking. You're asking, is it a violation of privacy? The answer is 100% yes.
Right.
Whether or not he would be mad, I don't know. That's your relationship. And that depends what you guys have agreed upon. Like, yeah, there's a chance that he wouldn't be mad. There's a chance that he would think it was hot or horny, but like you don't know that. You're just assuming that he would be okay with
it. And if I thought, but I'm talking
about there's no gray area in the is it a violation of privacy 100%
right,
it is.
Yes. Correct. Yeah, that's no doubt. But I think I would be a little pissed off if I found out that what I thought was a very private moment for me, and that's why I could get off the way I get off, is that it is private and no one else is watching me. I'd probably be pissed.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy. And like, it's, you have this kind of air of like, and girls have this a lot, like where when a girl does something, it's cute. And when a guy does something, it's a federal offense.
Yes.
And it's like, not cute. Like, this reminds me of when like the girl after the show grabbed my nipple. Yeah. If that was a man, he'd be in cuffs.
Right.
You know, like, what are we talking about here? Like, I think it's kind of something that maybe you should have, before asking us, like if you're just going to take the advice blindly that we give, I mean, I think that maybe it's something maybe you could have talked about with your boyfriend, like theoretically.
Well, yeah. And after the first time you did it, you could even say like, oh, I knocked and I asked and then you didn't hear me and I came in and you still didn't hear me. I saw that you were watching porn and I got to be honest, I thought it was kind of hot. That's a oopsies. Okay.
Yeah.
But the continuation of doing it.
I think anytime we continually do something in a relationship that our partner doesn't know that involves our partner, like we're in real murky territory.
Yeah.
I, for one, would not be happy. I mean, I definitely know of couples who would be fine with it and they would think it was hot and kinky, but like we all don't share the same moral code and compass. So I cannot make that decision for your boyfriend. But you already made a decision for him. You see, that's like the problem in my book that you made. And I mean, yeah, it's, and then it just does go along with kind of like the different expectations we have for different sexes. I feel like if the roles were reversed, everyone would be, you know, and I was even kind of like okay with it. Everyone would be like, ah, Corinne said that it would be fine if her boyfriend, shut the fuck up.
And on that note, come see us live. Guys, if you're listening to this on Luminary this week that it comes out, I'm going to be in Edmonton, Canada at the Comic Strip. God damn, that city is difficult to get through to on an airplane.
I think that's why I stopped.
Tickets are so fucking expensive.
I think that's why I stopped. Like, is there a direct flight there?
Nope.
Yeah, I was like, anytime there's not a direct place to, flight to a place, I ain't going.
Nope. And I don't blame you, but I am going. And so fucking come and see me. April 20th through the 22nd at the Comic Strip. Detroit, Michigan, House of Comedy, the 28th and 29th of April. Philadelphia, Helium Comedy Club, one of my favorite clubs in the world. May 11th, 12th, and 13th, I will be performing, headlining there, and recording my live album, which I'm very excited about. I'm also going to be in Toronto, San Diego, Fort Worth, Texas, New Brunswick, Vegas, Chicago, and Nashville, but those are far in the future. But just, you know, put a little seed in your ear. And as always, you could sign up for my Patreon, $5 a month. You get group lamenting over Zoom up to 4 times a month, and it's really fun. So yeah, come get shit off your chest. And don't shit on someone's chest.
And then, of course, Without a Country comes out weekly. I think they've been releasing. I don't know. They're playing with the days. And I got to be honest with that, guys. I don't know why. But we're just trying to get you the news a little bit faster because the news cycle is ever changing. I think maybe they're releasing Wednesdays, Thursdays. Now, who the fuck knows? You know, the way you're going to know is if you just subscribe, press subscribe. If you listen to the audio, press subscribe on Without a Country. If you listen or if you watch it on YouTube, press subscribe. Then you're going to get an alert when it comes out. And you'll probably know know, before me. But it's a great way to ingest all the things that you need to know in a week in like a 90-minute helping. And, you know, I'll talk you through it, since a lot of you seem to be unable to consume the news because you find it so triggering and traumatizing, even though literally nothing in it is happening to you directly. Yeah, I'll help you through. I'll hold your hand throughout life, and you can listen to it that way.
And make sure, if you haven't already, you rate and review Guys We Fucked on Apple Podcasts and follow us. Click the little plus sign, and that just keeps us at the top of the charts, which I don't even know if we're in still, because everyone and their mom and their brother and their cousin and their great-great-grandma has a podcast now. So, you know, it's a lot of these podcasts are comedy podcasts. So, you know, just help us out and keep us in the top 200. We love you. And subscribe to us on YouTube.
Do it.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time, because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What's going on in your life?
Well, one thing I wanted to throw out to the listeners was I'm curious, because I just want to see what kind of answers we get, because human sexuality is so interesting to me. If you have an interesting or specific or unique kink, sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. I'm just curious. Like, I want to do like a graphic of like just weird in quotes kinks. Because I was having a conversation with a friend the other day who he likes when women wear pink underwear. And I was like, what the fuck? That's fascinating. And I'm like, I do a lot of jokes on stage lately of like, just guys getting turned on by shit that I'm like, honestly, I wish that was all that turned me on. Like, that'd be so amazing. I didn't have to have like emotional complications. So I'm just curious. sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Tell us what your kink is and we can put the most interesting ones in a graphic.
That's such an innocent kink, pink underwear.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be innocent. I mean, hopefully it doesn't harm anybody.
We did an interview today that's going to come out where we talked about, in some capacity, a fetish. And it got me thinking about something that I didn't necessarily realize was a fetish until I started hearing it out loud. And I think I have a hand fetish.
Mm. Huh.
I think that's something that's like really the way
that makes sense.
The way that I heard that guest, which you'll hear in a few weeks, discuss his fetish. it's not like women's hands turn me on in a way where it's like uncontrollable, where I guess some people have foot fetishes where they're just like, that's the money maker for them.
They can't keep their dick in their pants, yeah, even though they can. Yeah.
But the way this guest was talking about it, I was like, you know what? I definitely have that with hands, where it's something that I notice very quickly with women. It's like one of the first things I look for. And when they are bad, there's something about bad hands that does kind of like turn me off, like ugly hands.
What constitutes a bad hand? Like, what do you mean by ugly?
So there is, it's so funny because there's a woman who I grew up with, who I explicitly refer to as the bad hands.
Wow.
Like when I tell people about this. Yeah. Like, and they are like, they're just kind of like, they're a little stumpy.
Yeah.
Stumpy.
They're the nails.
Like stump thumbs.
Stump thumbs.
Stump thumbs are a bummer.
The hands are kind of smushed a little bit.
Oh.
Smushed?
Yeah. Smushed with like short fingers.
In a way?
Not like that bad, but like.
Ish.
Smushed.
Like a child?
Like, I feel like, all right, if you look at my hands,
you have good hands.
They're proportional, it seems like.
Yeah.
But some people have, like, more hand than fingers.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Think some people have, like...
more hand than fingers.
I totally know what you mean.
You know how, yeah, like, some people
it's
have
like
more
a, it's
torso
It's like when you blow up
legs.
A glove, like, yes. Like a balloon.
Yeah.
So
but that's
funny.
Their hand.
Yeah, some people have hands. It looks like they've been, like, flattened by a bulldozer or something. And it does, that's
that
true.
Sucks.
Okay.
And then I think same thing with like flat fingernails. Like you can.
Wait, what's the alternative to a flat fingernail?
No, flat, like, how do I even explain
like the
this?
Nail beds are like pressed down a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah,
I know
like
what you
that.
Mean. Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, like you guys both have good hands. So this is like bad to. Yeah, like Christina's got very sort
but
of like.
I haven't
like,
done a mani in a while.
But it's not necessarily the manicure. And I think this is the thing. If you're into. If this is something that.
I've
like,
seen a
you
lot of people with
about,
disgusting hands that have a manicure. And I go, you're putting lipstick on a pig.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's something that I look for a lot with women. I had never really thought of it as a fetish, but I think it's true.
The search goes on.
Thank you for being brave enough to be honest about
well,
that.
Well, you were asking, Christina, so I figured I'd present.
Well, I'm interested in like, I always find it fascinating when people are aroused by like really niche things.
Yeah. I'm not aroused by it, but I'm like, I definitely care about like teeth. Like if someone has gross teeth, like, ugh.
I don't really care about teeth.
Oh, I hate it when people
have
bad teeth.
Every guy I've ever dated, a lot of them have gross teeth. I'm like, eh. They don't smell, like their breath isn't
that
bad.
That doesn't
their
bother
breath
you?
Is bad.
I can't
I mean,
lick crook, my
like
fucking
crooked
mouth
teeth,
again.
I'm like, eh.
I can't.
I mean, eh, whatever.
Really?
I don't care.
Yeah.
See,
bad
it's one
breath
thing,
would bother me very bad.
Because I have to touch the teeth with my tongue.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's one thing, though, also if teeth, like someone can have interesting teeth that aren't bad.
That's never good. Like
do you know what
kernels?
I'm talking about? No, interesting. Like, all right, so there is this.
Jewel
like,
has interesting teeth, but
I
don't think they're
teeth.
Bad. Or like
Jewel's.
Gap. I like
a
Jewel's
gap.
Teeth.
I love gap tooth.
Like a gap
oh my God,
is kind
that's
of
so
like.
Sexy.
I'd be disappointed if Jewel fixed her teeth.
Yeah,
so
I mean, Jewel's teeth are a little a bit too far.
It shows
me,
she struggled, you know.
Yeah.
That's how God intended. I like that.
There's this Amazon commercial right now of this like. She's like a high school student or whatever. And it's, have you seen this with the commercial with the girl with the mustache?
Oh yes,
does,
I
like,
have.
The
and she like
Mercury.
Sees another picture of a gal with a mustache, and
oh,
she's like,
no.
You know what?
Yeah,
I love my mustache.
Yeah, she's looking at pictures of like Frida Kahlo, and then it inspires her to buy this like Freddie Mercury jacket.
Yeah,
and she does.
Oh, so
this,
she
like,
has like a girl mustache.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like this
okay.
like wispy sort of
yeah.
like.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But at the end of the commercial, they do this thing where they have her. The whole commercial is about how she's like a little like unique. You know, looking or whatever.
Yeah.
And she smiles at the end and she has this like big gap in her teeth. And I feel like that is the way you define like interest. Like
I
this
see.
Person's very in, I wouldn't consider her like conventionally attractive, but there's just, she's interesting to look at.
That's why she's in a commercial.
Right. Interesting teeth.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is different than when somebody just has like crooked, fucked up, like fucked up teeth. Where
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like too much gum or too much, you know what I mean?
Oh, too much gum. Course, yeah. I had too much gum at some point in high school and then it just went away to the point where my orthodontist was like, you know, we can shave the skeleton in between.
Ah!
Your, and I was like, I didn't even ask for that. I didn't even think I needed that. And I was like, well, why? And he's like, well, because you have a gummy smile. I'm like,
that's how they make their money. They point out something that was wrong that you never thought was wrong
dude.
To begin with.
Yeah.
That's how they can make that bank. Capitalism,
yeah.
baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
But yes. And then, so I want to know your kink. I'm just so curious because I feel like our listeners have some interesting ones and you guys are very open. So I'd like to take advantage of that. And, man, something happened to me that has never really happened to me before. And if anything, I think it's funny, but I'm also, towards the end, I'll throw a question to the male listeners. So I'm working on a show where we interview people on camera. And we all sit, the three of us sit at a table that's like a long rectangle. Mm-hmm. And we sit up against it so that our like stomach is like hit, like our rib cage is kind of hitting the table usually. So, you know, you can't see what anybody's doing under the table. Like you can't see any of the wires, all that stuff.
The
cameras can see it. And so in this, we had a day where we filmed three interviews back to back and it was like a really rushed day, but it was really fun because these people were really interesting. And the middle guy was a little out there, which, you know, the topics that we talk about are out there topics. And the editor emails me and says, hey, can you call me? Like a couple days later. And I was like, yeah, what's up? And I, you know, I thought I'd try to call him and then I didn't have enough time. So he's been trying to get a hold of me. And he's like, one of the guests, like during the interview, we can't use this interview because he's touching himself the whole time. And I got that many, he's rubbing his lav mic.
And I go, oh my God.
And I go, okay. And I watched the interview and I was like, the audio sounds fine. What do you mean he's touching himself? He goes, he's masturbating next to you underneath the table the whole interview.
Yeah, and I'll say he's out there.
Yeah. And I was like,
fuck.
What? For an hour, I'm sitting next to this guy and I showed Justin Silver this because he's like, I told him about it. He goes, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, no, it's not.
His reply was, oh, yes. That's awesome?
Yeah, yeah. He thought it was hilarious. I'm like, that's a very man response. But I showed him the video and he goes, yeah, that guy, like he didn't have his dick out, but he was like if this was the dick over the pants, he was doing this.
Yeah, like Subway nonsense.
The whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, damn, doggy. I'm like, my spidey senses weren't going off or anything. Like, I actually really liked this guy. And he really liked me.
Yeah.
But I
How do you know he wasn't masturbating to your male co-host?
True.
Oh, or just thinking about somebody else completely.
Or like the topic that you guys were talking about. Honestly, for someone like this, I think it's like his kink is doing this in public. Period.
Is it his kink or is it like a compulsion?
I mean, either way, I'm using kink loosely. I mean, this is a crime that he continues to commit.
Yeah. But I'm like, damn, he was jerking off the whole hour we were talking to him.
Compulsions you have control over, and if you don't, you don't go out in fucking public like that. Like, I mean, like I certainly don't want anything like that under the. That's not like fucking has nothing to do with like OCD or anything.
Right.
That's
right.
Something you do in puberty. Where you just cannot control yourself.
Well, that's like before like someone child, has like told you that you that is not inappropriate to do. But when someone that's told you that it's inappropriate to do, there is no argument or no medical history, no science you can show me that says that there is anyone on this planet who has a disease where they literally can't stop masturbating during a podcast interview. Fuck you all. This is nonsense and we've become way too accepting.
I believe a lot of bullshit.
Sick. He's just a fucking pervert.
Yeah. I believe a lot. Bullshit, my dad. Stop. That one's nasty.
I would love to hear off camera. I know you don't want to share, but like what his area of expertise is.
Aliens.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh. Well, that lines up.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not doing us any favors. You're not doing the community. The pro alien community any favors, sir.
Yeah. It's almost like this guy was full of shit.
He was full of cum.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Boy. Wow, that's disgusting.
I was like, wow, ew, dude.
But kudos to the fucking editor who
was a guy.
He handled it in a really professional way.
He totally did. And he's like, I want to tell you first before I tell the other host, because the host, like they're not friends, but he knew of the guest. So
yeah.
It's that obvious when you see it on the video?
It took me a second. That's why I was like, I couldn't tell if it was like, you know, some people like tug on their shirt, you know? So I didn't know if it was like a tick like that, but he was like pressing down on it like a lever enough that I was like, that's.
If a man's saying it about another man, exactly. I'm just taking
it. And it was a guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, if it stuck out to you as a man, then that's jerking off.
It's a good rule.
Did you not, did the guest not know the frame of the shot?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow. He should really check on that for a future interview.
You know what he should also stop? He should also do? Stop jerking off when he's getting interviewed. Just don't do that, guys. Don't do that. That's
are you do you have a, are you going to say something to him about it?
I think my co-host should. I mean, I will. I don't give a, but you know what I wish, though?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish. I would love to turn back time. Yeah. But I so wish I caught him doing that while we were filming, because I would have been like, and cut. Do you want to mind telling me what you're doing? Are you touching your dick there, buddy? Why are you doing that? That's fucking, like, I would have.
Why don't you just have a follow-up Zoom interview? You had some additional questions about aliens, and then do a Zoom interview where everyone's on it.
The alien in your pants.
And then what about aliens makes you so horny? I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like we just need to start directly handling this head on, especially in a place,
sure,
like in a circumstance like this where you're not in danger. I don't recommend like doing this like if you're by yourself with a fucking guy like that,
but if you met this guy, he does not pose any threat to anybody. Like he's not a threatening kind of guy.
He seems like someone who does gross shit. Do some hacking, you know?
Oh, maybe. Oh.
There's other ways to hurt you other than physically.
And for sure.
And men have figured them all out.
Oh, yeah.
Men have figured them all out.
And as technology changes, we will adapt and figure out more ways.
So proud of you guys.
Put all that effort into changing
do
that.
You could cure cancer, but no.
Yeah.
We're not gonna.
No, I know.
I didn't think you would.
Too busy coming.
Yeah. unless there's cum cancer, then cum no
cancer.
Hope.
Oh my God.
How are you? Right.
Well, I'm gonna put a little, I don't want to say ending, but just a pin in the ongoing saga that we've been talking about. First, I will preface this by saying, you know, you're in a bad spot when you text your psychic and she goes, "I'm sorry, who's this?"
Is that a bad spot?
Yeah, it is.
Psychic.
She's psychic.
And I, like, listen, I hate even using the word psychic. I don't really believe in psychics. There is one woman who throughout the entire course of my life I have met that I feel like does truly has a gift. She does not even use her gift for monetary gain, which to me even folds into how organic it is. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not even 100% convinced with her, but that's the only person I've ever met that I truly think has any sort of gift like that. The rest is like just like, you know, intuition, which is a real thing, but I don't call that being psychic. Mm-hmm. And so
it's so funny you texted her.
And you know, listen, so I've been doing this, you know, this work on guys we fucked with relationships for a long time. So at this point I'm quick to assess whether when I'm dating someone, whether or not I'm going to vibe with them. We've been talking about that kind of on the show a lot about how I'm really fast now at knowing if I want to continue a relationship or end a relationship. And as a straight woman, I feel like one thing I know is that it is exceedingly rare to meet a man, a straight man, and think to yourself, I would be lucky to date this man. I can count on one hand, and I wouldn't even use all the fingers, every time I've thought that in my entire 37 years of existence. And that's how I felt when I was dating this person. I was just dating casually for a couple of weeks.
You felt lucky.
I felt lucky. I felt like, nice. I would be lucky to be in a relationship with this person.
And that's
nice. It's like I wasn't in love. I wasn't trying to make things move faster than they should have. I just knew enough to recognize that this would be a man I would be lucky to date.
Oh, that's nice.
And he would be, of course, lucky to date me. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, that's kind of at this point, like, that's what a great match is. The rest is all shit that you can work on. But I can't compete with his like history, and this is like, I think a lot of our writers, people who write into us have this, it's because history is in your head. So if you are involving an ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend, Mike and I talk about our exes in, I think, in a different dynamic than Christina does a lot on this show.
Negatively?
No, but I don't
talk positive.
Something about our relationship with our exes is still bothering us in a way that I don't think it's bothering Christina.
Yeah. Sure.
Just the suing part, you know?
So it's like, and the reason, you know, new people can't compete with history is because a lot of history is in your head, okay?
Yeah.
So it's not how things really are. It's how you believe them to be. It's the feelings you felt at that time. It's, you know, the body keeping the score. It's all that stuff. You know the glory of what was. And
It's romantic. It can be romantic.
And it's scary to charge toward the future. It's scary. We've all been there. You know, it's the same as the devil that you know is better than the devil that you don't know. No matter how hard you got, badly you got hurt, I think there is always something appealing about going back to something that once was really good and saying, but what if we could just tweak this? What if this thing didn't happen? What if I could fix this or explain this or hear where she was coming from on this point? Like, I've had that conversation in my head a million times with, you know, about really a certain ex, but it's like, why wouldn't I just, you want to move forward? And I'm asking myself this question too. Why wouldn't I just want to move forward and like knowing that, oh, I can capture this amazing feeling because I've had it before. I've felt this connection with another person before. So I know it exists and it can exist beyond the constraints of this particular person.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's like really, you really need a lot of courage to go forth and do that, especially when you've been in the, you know, it's not like I haven't been open personally to it. Like, I think I've been in relationships since then where I felt like, oh, I could possibly get to the level of connection that I felt with this person. People are also very obsessed with like time invested, you know, like five years is like a fucking blip.
Yeah,
it's a blip, you know. But I've also been in relationships, you know, for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. And you think to yourself like, oh, my God, like I committed so much. Obviously, I shared so much with this person, but like maybe that's all it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. Again, these are questions to like
ponder
this person, but also myself, you know, because I've felt these things, too. Because like, you know, because the question you're asking when you're toying with history is like, there could be something better out there. But then the fear comes in and goes, but what if there isn't?
Right.
And what if I lose this person forever?
You know, act out of love, not fear, baby.
But like, you know, I think there is something to be said when you meet a guy who's not even 27 yet. And he has a copy of She Comes First in his room.
Oh, wow,
that I think
nice.
He actually read. Like, that's a good man. That's a man of a higher caliber. This is someone who I felt like feminine and safe in his presence. And yeah, so I mean, it's not, I don't want to say like, this is like done forever, because who the fuck know? I never know what the future holds, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, my inclination of the way things were going and that something was disrupting the flow was certainly correct, because X did come back into play. And yeah, I just was, I fucking knew it.
Women know, man.
I knew it.
Women know, all the women involved in this know. Like, it's so interesting. Like, when you get like this too, right? When you're like sleeping with somebody, you're dating them, you're seeing them, whatever, like in any like romantic capacity like that, like, do you feel like almost like psychically connected with them a little extra than anybody else?
It depends. I mean, for some people I do, for some people I don't.
Okay.
Like, you know, I did a lot of work this weekend to kind of like not disconnect from this person, but just like, I'm like, I can't get into some kind of a pattern where I'm like thinking about this a lot. Like, I think I just need to accept the fact that this is like a really good person. Accept the fact, like, kind of still confused about why he made such a hard play for me. If he wasn't completely disconnected from his previous relationship, you know, because I asked the questions that I needed to ask, and I just was like given misinformation, not maliciously.
On purpose. Yeah.
I think it's just like the person was maybe not as aware of his feelings. But of course,
right.
I come into the picture. X sniffs that out.
Right.
Because everything was going fine, and like maybe his feelings weren't as tapped into previously, but it's because she had no threat, so she didn't have to move faster, she didn't have to beg for forgiveness fast, because there was no one else trying to get him.
Then
I move in, there's someone else trying to get him. I go to Ireland for a week. You sniff that. I tried to make this point
women
to him,
know.
But you just sound crazy when you say that. But it's like, this is 100% what happened.
Yep, I'm sorry,
you're not like separating from someone for 6 months, and then all of a sudden I just go to Ireland for a week, and then that's the week that you decide to fucking think about reconciling. Please.
Yeah.
Stop. I literally do this for a living.
Yeah, if the ex knows that her ex is... interested in somebody else and she's still like, whoa, wait, I don't know if I'm done with that yet.
Right. And, or that I'm interested in him. And I also think it's like, it's also funny to me because this also reminded me, like, never feel no matter how someone reacts to like you liking them, like you should never feel stupid for liking someone. No. If you like someone and like you're being normal about it, not like fucking stalking them and shit. Mm-hmm. Like if you're being normal about your like it and you just have communicated to someone that you like them and they like respond to you like, I told you this was casual. That's on them. That's not on you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You cannot fucking control. Anytime you enter a relationship, and a relationship is any human interaction. I'm not talking any monogamous, romantic relationship. Anytime you start seeing someone, start having sex with them, start spending time with them, there is, of course, a chance that you will develop feelings. And to, like, enter something and be like, this is only casual is like you're only fooling yourself.
Yeah, and you're putting limitations on like, something before what? You even know what it's gonna be.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just funny to me because I'm like, there's very few instances where I am in a position where like someone would like try to make me feel foolish, and this is not necessarily what this person did, or like act like, why are you acting surprised that I like you? Like, that to me makes me question like how you think about yourself.
Right.
Like,
right,
what? Right.
It, yeah, it always is
crazy.
About him.
Listen, it's like I've been on this planet for a long time, been dating for a long time. Good people don't come along that often. If you see a good person, you got to try to make a move for it.
Hell yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, the worst that can happen is it doesn't work out. You get rejected. But okay. I ain't afraid of rejection, baby. Get rejected all goddamn day. You know who else isn't afraid of rejection? Our guest. Guys, she's a columnist, a TV reporter, a stand-up comedian based in New York City. Her book is out now. It's called You Can't Joke About That, Why Everything is Funny, Nothing is Sacred, and We're All in This Together. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Kat Timpf.
Isn't it funny how I changed the game for you, turn your life around? Got you smarter, work harder, you're focused now. Turning your new leaves over, you're open now. You're not broken now, you made it back. Look at it, yourself, you've been mapped. Find your feet firmly back on track. You're like water slipping through the cracks. Cracks, cracks in the soul. Binds up the wall. You are special to me. Special to me.
To hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over.
Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
We are here with Kat Timpf, who has a new book out that I'm so excited to talk about. It's called You Can't Joke About That, Why Everything is Funny, Nothing is Sacred, and We're All in This Together. Welcome to the show.
So great to be here.
I love the sentiment that nothing is sacred.
No, nothing.
It really isn't.
Nothing is sacred.
And whenever anyone treats anything as if it's sacred, it's never good. Like, good things don't come of that.
Our love is sacred.
Yeah. Ugh, and then he's going to cheat on you like next week.
Oh, that's how you know he already is.
Yeah, 100%.
But when people say you can't joke about that, I think that that's actually a hurtful thing to say, because all of the darkest stuff in life is the stuff that you need to be able to speak freely about.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because everything I've gone through that's been tough, one of the things that made it the most difficult was I was also so isolated, because people were afraid when they were talking to me, like, am I going to say the wrong thing? And it's like, what I'm dealing with is more serious. And now I don't need to feel like I'm making you uncomfortable just because my life is going the way it's going.
Right.
We were kind of briefly talking about this on Instagram, but yeah, we both have a dead parent.
Yes.
And I definitely experienced that, like, both while he was dying and now that he's dead. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, this thing that happened to me, a guy you don't fucking know,
exactly.
A guy realistically you don't give a shit about.
Right.
Now, me talking about it, which is healing, comforting, a way to connect with him still, is making you uncomfortable. Fuck you.
Exactly.
Fuck you.
And even when you said to me, my dad died, my dad's dead, when I say dead mom or mom died, they're like, that's disrespectful. I'm like, to whom? Yes. They're like, you should
but
say
she died.
She is
that's
dead.
True.
She, and they're like, say pass on. I'm like, you did not
passed
fuck,
on.
You don't know. She's
it's
dead.
It's all about control. Yeah. These motherfuckers are not in they're so desperate to feel in control of their life. And one of the easiest ways to feel in control of yourself and your life, which is false, is to tell somebody what they can and cannot say.
Exactly. I even posted on Instagram that I was wearing my dead mom's skirt on Christmas, and like, people were commenting, that's disrespectful. It's like, who is this for? You did not know her.
Yeah.
You know nothing. Trust me, the fact that she's dead affects me more than it affects you.
Also, the irony of it is that's extremely disrespectful to you to say that what you're saying.
Exactly.
Disrespectful. And now we're in the Matrix.
And it's like, also, like, I'm like telling like jokes about whatever, like making jokes about like my dad like wanting to fuck me or something. And I'm like, yeah, he had brain damage and he did want to fuck me. And like, I'm like, you think that was a fun day for me?
Right.
You think I liked that? I think I was like, yes, daddy.
Ooh, daddy.
You
know?
Right.
So
like, what the fuck are we talking about right now? It's like, I am truly in a place right now, because I'm like, I'm a year and a half out. So I'm like actually disgusted by how not in touch people are with the fact that everyone you love is going to die and you're going to die.
Yep.
Just fucking grow up.
Yeah.
You're going to die, you pussy. I called the audience
pussy
the other day.
Bitch.
I said, you guys, I go, you're pussy ass bitch. And it's
1,000%.
Making me sick. They laugh because they knew. It's like, there's something that's actually like repulsive to me about how little people have thought about like what the life, like what we are in right now.
Absolutely.
And how fleeting it is.
And you're not allowed, it leaves you so unprepared for it. Because when my mom was dying, everything in the media about death is you're going to have these beautiful long conversations where she's going to leave you with these beautiful sentiments that carry with you your whole life. Like, no.
My
like
dad had poop under his fingernails.
My mom was like, I'm thirsty. Sick. Can I have some ice chips?
Yep.
I don't feel good. I'm tired because she's fucking dying.
Yes.
You're in the hospital.
Of course.
It's not pretty. It's ugly. There's like the beeping and like either the lights are off
the
or they're like ugly
sure
and the breathing and the noises. And it's so gross and there's nothing beautiful about it. Mm. And like you said, it's happening to all of us. We all have that in common, but we pretend like it's not happening, which hurts the people who are going to go through it, which is all of us.
Yeah. Right.
Literally every person.
Like, obviously, experiencing a death is so traumatizing and the grief. And the, but, like, it is kind of cool if you think about, like, we all will know what happens when we die one
right.
day.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
But we can't talk about it.
I am.
I mean, when my mom died, I had, like, a rough 6 months. My mom died. My grandma died. The guy I thought I was going to marry me broke up with me in front of my dad at Coney Island. And it was rough.
He broke up with you in front of your fucking dad?
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. Like, I mean, what like, yeah, fuck? it was bad. I'm better off now.
Right.
At the time, though, I'm like fuck.
That. Yeah.
But I had just gotten hired at Fox a couple of days after that. And people would ask about my mom. Like people would. I mean, I remember my dad came on. We did the Fox and Friends like cooking segment. And my dad, we like kind of trolled it. My dad, our recipe was this cucumber salad my dead mom made, but then my dad was like, and for dessert, he did Pop-Tarts with ice cream. And like, we Ooh, stretched this delicious. Whole segment of putting a Pop-Tart in and ice cream, and they didn't know what to do. But a lot of the people missed the fact that my mom did. So the next year, they're like, oh, Kat's dad was funny. Let's pitch her mom for a segment.
You're like, is it a seance?
Yes, exactly. So I had met Dave Navarro like through all this. He was on our show once. Nice. And his mom was obviously murdered. And he deals with it kind of the same way, making jokes.
I didn't know his mom was murdered.
Yeah. His mom was murdered sucks. Like when he was a teenager. Damn. So we were like going back and forth, like, what should we say? Like, do we say, like, I don't know, could you really bring her back? Like, my prayers have been answered. Or like, yeah. do I say, like, oh, it might be really too much for hair and makeup? Or like, you know, like, what do you say? But then I feel bad. I feel bad that I have to tell this producer because she's gonna feel so bad that she asked about my mom when she's dead, even though she was already fucking dead before I got the email. She's right. been dead.
And the girl didn't know.
She didn't know. And it's like, you didn't like kill her again or anything. Right. I already knew. But these are the exact standards that people put into place to be sensitive to people like me, but they actually hurt people like me or like you, like your dad. Like, you don't say that about your dad. Don't tell me what I can say about my fucking dead mom or your dead dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a repulsive thing to suggest to somebody.
No. Yes. And I kind of like that because I remember because you are married now to not that guy from Coney Island.
No. Yeah.
But I remember you kind of, and this is vague, so correct me, but like, you posting about your wedding on Instagram and how obviously it's difficult with a dead parent. And you made some kind of comment about like how, and don't tell her, don't like say that she's here with me because I don't believe in that. And I thought that was really interesting. Like, I have a different experience, but can you talk about that a little bit and like how it's annoying when people say shit like that to you because you don't believe it?
Oh my gosh. It's so annoying. People are like, she's here with you right now. I'm like, is she? Because she has not reached out to me.
Right.
Like, has she reached out to you? Like, I did have a friend actually who's into like the psychic stuff who says she talks to her. Yeah, exactly. I mean, or like my mom, she was diagnosed with a rare disease, like super rare. 3 weeks later, she died, right? And so people in the funeral saying things like, at least, you know, you got to say goodbye. Like, she didn't die in a car accident. It's like, what do you say to car accident funerals?
Right.
Like, at least she wasn't like torn limb from limb in front of you and then set on fire while you watch. Like, shut up.
People really can't say, I'm so fucking sorry.
I'm sorry. This shit sucks.
They just love the comparison. They love to just spin it so that it could have been worse and you're fortunate for whatever position you're in. You're fortunate and it all worked out a little bit better for you.
Society's inability to deal with any negative emotions.
Exactly.
It's just like, get them away.
And I'm like at that moment, obviously going through something far worse than whatever it is you're going to be able to say to me, like as we're both here above ground.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of the she's in a better place or it's like all these platitudes and nobody really says anything. Mm. And I remember talking to my sister where we're like, my younger sister, she was only 19 when my mom died. Mm. And we don't know how to navigate this. Like when someone texts us, like when we were like a few months out, we're like, how long when someone says, how are you? In a text, do they mean, how are you? Or how are you?
Right.
Because if you do it the wrong way, if they mean like the dead way and you're like, I'm great. They'll be like, she's a sociopath. But if they mean it in like the, you know, good. Then they're like, oh, she's a sociopath. But if they mean it the reverse way, they're like, oh, she's so exhausting. Like she needs to get over it. People don't know how to talk to you.
Yeah.
And if people could just even admit that, like, hi, I'm a little uncomfortable. I still have two living parents. I can't imagine that fucking sucks. Like that would be so much better.
Yeah, yeah. Some honesty.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, everyone has a timeline on grieving and like what they deem to be appropriate. So if you don't fit into that exact timeline, you know, even people with my own family, it's like, oh, you're still sad about that? Yeah. The death of my father a year and a half later, I would say it's going to take a moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Some people live their whole lives being sad about the death of their parents, and that's fine too.
Yes. I don't know. Sorry, I'm not a fucking straight man. I don't have just some like insert girl here that I can put into my life. I don't know.
tell everybody.
You look over to your right and go, but, yeah, you want me to
yeah, sorry. I didn't get the memo.
So you had 3 months notice of the death
three
of your mom.
Three weeks.
Well, so she had breast cancer when I was in college, which was completely unrelated. So they were thought it was cancer. And they were like, oh, there's no cancer. We're all happy. And they're like, actually, it's a thing called cardiac amyloidosis. And then she died like 3 weeks after that.
What is that?
Yeah. So your body makes this protein that your liver can't break down. So it builds up in your organs. So for her, it was her heart.
Like and
yeah. And it just mimics the symptoms of other things. She was still working.
Oh.
So it was crazy. It was like 3 weeks and holy shit. And then again, on top of it, no one knew how to talk to me.
That's fucking sudden. Mm-hmm.
That's it was really very, sudden. Very sudden. And I also, Corinne, something you just said reminded me. I had this girl that was like horrible to me in college. We were friends. She decided she hated me, whatever. It was like one of those.
Yeah.
And she messaged me on Facebook like 4 months later. She's like, I just been struggling with what to tell you about your mom. And I'm so sorry. I'm like, I've not been thinking of you.
People always have to step in and be like, she's obviously waiting for my words. I did not notice. Like, and even when people like will find out a year later, like if I'll post like, oh, it's been a year without my dad, I get messages from people. I had no idea. And it's somehow making it into them that they feel guilty that they didn't know. So they have to reach out for me. I go, this is for you.
That's for you. Exactly.
I literally did not care that you mentioned. I didn't even care for you to know.
Yeah.
Literally, this is not about you.
Yeah, exactly. But then you feel like you have to console that person, right? Mm. You're like, oh, now this person's so uncomfortable. And it's like, dude, I'm already dealing with a lot right now. Yeah. I mean, when I was going after my grandma's funeral, which was 3 months after, I was going to do red eye. But this was way before I was hired at Fox. And I was flying Spirit and it was canceled. So the boyfriend that was going to dump me at the time, our plan was I still wanted to be on red eye. It was this big opportunity. So we took like two trains and a couple Greyhound buses.
Oh, wow.
Overnight. So I got to Fox with my suitcase. And so she's like, where were you? And I was like, my grandma died. I was like, just please don't ask. She's like, your mom's mom, your dad's mom. I'm like, mom's mom. And I'm like, don't do it. And she's like, how's your mom feel about it? And I was like, fuck. Yeah. I was like, she's dead. And then the whole green room was like, and I was like, guys, like, I knew this when I walked in. Like, stop it. Like, just please. Like, I've been on the bus all night. I feel like shit. Like, it sucks. Yeah. I would have been much better if I could have made jokes about how, like, I'd spent way more time eating pierogi at a Polish wake in, like, a Hamtramck basement than anybody else who's 26.
Yeah.
Talk about it like that rather than treat me like that. Because I'm already feeling so sad. And then it isolates people.
Yeah.
And they think they're being sensitive. That's so backwards.
So what would help in those situations is just honesty. Like,
absolutely.
If you don't know what to say, just say, I don't know what to say, but I'm so sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that I deal with it by making jokes about it, because laughing and making jokes about things that are, it's healing. It takes the power away from that. It's not that I don't care, right? It's obviously not that I don't care. It takes the power away from some of the scariest stuff in life.
Yeah.
And I think that the way things are now, it's very much like there's certain sacred subjects and you can't joke about these subjects. Those are the subjects that need that the most because they're the scariest things.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are the scariest subjects for you?
I mean, death, definitely. I had a medical emergency in 2020. Keith's over there, my buddy Keith, because he was with me. I had an emergency.
Oh, it's good to have your best friend with you when you have a medical emergency.
Well, day, I had an emergency. My stomach hurt really bad, like really bad. This is November 2020. Excruciating. I thought I had like appendicitis or something. I went to the ER. I had a hole in my colon. I had to get an ileostomy, which is a fancy word for shit bag. And I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Oh,
I had no.
Colon.
So they're wheeling me into surgery. And I remember I was thinking, like, what am I going to tell people? Like, people are going to. And I like could have died. Not like hope I don't die on the table. But it was really, really rough. And I told pretty much no one. I mean, I was on TV with the bag, which it's just your small intestine that goes out of your stomach. A lot of people don't know that. There's no valve. It's just your intestine.
And then the bag connects to the
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And I had it for 5 weeks. I'm all good now. But I was going on TV. I was like, I can't tell anybody because then they're going to be like, oh, like, and I already feel like a weirdo. So what helped was, you know, my friends joking around with me about it. I actually planned a cats out of the bag party where we were going to bong voove out of the unused shit bags, which we totally did do. you know, like it was fun.
Make it a fun time.
Exactly. I mean, it was crazy because I kept having all these leaks too. I was like, nice. It was, I was on.
I was wondering, so like, would you, what are the ship one second. Like, do you smell like poo?
That's the weird thing.
Yeah. Because it goes right to the small intestine. So it just,
it doesn't smell. Yeah. It's like a smoothie. It's liquid. Mm. And I knew he was my fiance at the time, but I knew that he was the right one for sure. Because we still fucked.
Wow. Like, yeah. Yeah. With your intestine hanging out.
I had a spandex belt that would hold it in place.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had sex while I had a shit bag. And I was like, this, but there were these instructions related to sex, like this, this, that. And there was bold, all caps, underlined, do not attempt to penetrate the stoma. And I was like, that tells you everything you need to know about men. Because the fact that it needed to be there.
Everything
and
just
bolded,
come with the additional instruction. Don't try to stick your cock in.
Yeah, a man tried to stick his dick. Someone had to go back in the hospital because someone's tried to stick the dick into somebody's open small intestine.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah.
And that doesn't even surprise me at all.
No.
Like, being around this planet is for 35 years, I'm like, yeah, this guy definitely tried to fuck
There's
that.
Always many rules. Guys tried like, to fuck even that. When I was an elf at Macy's Santa Land, they literally had to give us special instructions that you can't take the elf costume home no matter how many times your boyfriend asks to fuck you. This is fucking Macy's.
It all goes back.
Yeah, it all goes back men. To men not being able to control themselves.
Exactly.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from The Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Yeah. It's involuntary too. So you can't like, you just like see it move under your shirt because you can't either. It's just like,
You don't fart?
No.
Weird.
It just bubbles up and it's under your shirt.
Whoa.
It was so gross.
Life without farting.
Was really weird. It was really gross. And then when I went to go get the reversal, I was like so excited for this surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had some complications that were really bad. Like I was losing a lot of blood out of my ass.
Oh.
And I needed to get a transfusion. And the day that they told me this was the January 6th.
Oh,
I'm sitting in the hospital with Keith.
Your ass
like, yes, he's here.
The Capitol's getting smashed.
I had a little princess crown on. Everyone was trying to make me feel better because it was also COVID. I only got 2 hours of visiting a day, and, like two people. I was like alone the entire time.
So tough.
And I was like this, but we were laughing about it because I was like, no matter what, whenever anyone asks me where I was on January 6th, 2021, I'll be like, I was bleeding out of my ass into a bucket in front of my buddy Keith. And like, there was this curtain separating me between me and this crazy old woman who was like talking to no one in particular about how all those people at the Capitol were Russians. And like every time I'm like,
interesting theory.
Right. She was like, everybody liked Trump at first, but now they don't. And I was like, that's also interesting. I don't think it worked out like that. But then
people still like him.
Every time the doctor went in to like give her anything, vitamins, she'd call someone and be like, they're poisoning me. And you know, I had to be laughing through that.
Yeah.
I had to be laughing through that or else I don't know how I would have gotten through it because that was an extremely traumatic experience, especially because I had a lot of problems with like leaks and stuff because mine didn't fit properly at first.
Oh, fuck, man.
It was really bad.
Had some hurdles.
It was really bad. Keith, again, Keith's going to be famous.
Keith.
And sometimes I talk about him like on Gutfeld. I'm just like, Keith. And people are like, who's Keith? But he like took me to get my nails done to get my mind off of it. But I'm sitting there with wet nails and then the bag like exploded. And there's nothing anybody can do. The first time it exploded was actually the day that it was supposed, I was supposed to get married, but then the pandemic canceled it or whatever. And I woke up and it like exploded overnight.
So exploded meaning like the bag.
Fuck, yeah. And so there was like,
to clean up sewage.
It's disgusting. Yeah. And I was laughing.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I was like, December, this is in my book. I was like, December 6th expectation is like marrying the love of my life in an intimate ceremony overlooking the Hudson River. December 6th reality, waking up to realize my shit bag exploded.
Oopsie.
Like, but if anybody ever needs a shit bag, eventually I got the correct sized bag and I didn't have leaks and all of that, but everything
it when was I was a journey.
When I looked up, like I have an ileostomy. Everything was like, ileostomies aren't that bad. Here I am climbing Everest with mine.
Ah!
And it's like, dude, like I can't even get
that's
up
like
off the couch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's I'm never gonna climb Everest.
Yeah. I hate like, when people make these blanket statements about like this thing is like pregnancy. Like women are like, oh, being pregnant's great. I loved it. I was horny. I look beautiful. And then other women are like, I wanted to fucking die the whole time. And it's like, everybody's got different experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everybody's experiences, I love hearing about them because it's like, oh yeah, this is the scope of what can fucking happen to you with this one situation.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was eating like multiple times. We had this nurse have to come over and help me learn to change the bag. And when you shower, you have to put like this saran wrap over it because you don't always change it. And you have to tape all around. And Keith he's gay. I mean, okay. He's a gymnast and he would tape around, but he would clean my intestine, but he wouldn't put the tape at the bottom because he was too close to my vagina. That was too gross. But
that's,
you know,
so funny.
Again, we were laughing. But I didn't want to talk to anybody because people would be like, are you okay? Like, fuck no, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? My small intestine's hanging outside of my body. Like, I'm not okay. And I didn't want to feel any more isolated. And I just every tough thing I've been through, it's just taught me the same lesson that the standards that are put in place to be sensitive to people make everything harder for the people actually going through it. It's not the people who have these problems that are the people whining and complaining.
No.
It's the people who have had like, they've never had a problem and they need to feel like they need to be somebody else's hero. But they're actually hurting people.
No, it's like when you say hey wheels to like someone in a wheelchair when you're on stage at a comedy show and the audience gasps and like the person in the wheelchair fucking loves it.
Yeah exactly.
It's like because they're being treated like everyone else
exactly
in a comedy audience, which is like that you are going to be roasted
exactly.
If you are in a comedy audience. So if I didn't roast that person, wouldn't that make them feel more out of place, more awkward?
And it'll be in the room.
It's common sense here.
Yeah.
What made you want to write a book about what you can and cannot joke about?
So when I was home after the first surgery on a lot of oxy my dad and I were on the phone. He was like, you're 32. I don't know what you haven't been through. And I was like, well, everything you go through, the good thing is you're automatically building a connection with everyone else who's gone through it too. But then I kind of realized, what's the use if we can't talk about it?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's always presented as like speech versus sensitivity. But really, I mean, being able to express yourselves is how you make those connections with other people. And if you make a joke or you talk about your experience, then maybe someone else can relate to that and make that other person feel better.
Yeah.
So I think it's just the debate is wrong. And it's true, you can say whatever you want and fuck everybody else. And I totally believe that. But it's not always that way. It's also how we can get to know each other better and how mm-hmm. we can connect with each other. If there's no limits in how we can express ourselves, there's no limits for how we can connect.
And there's also, like, I feel like when a person gets offended over something, specifically something a comedian says, I'm like, do you see the irony here?
Yeah.
It's a fucking joke.
I know.
But, you know, you can go one of two ways. And I'm always, when I've had comics say stuff on stage or I've watched specials where I'm like, I don't like that. But I love that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, why don't I like that? Why do I want to say, fuck you, dude? Like, you piece of shit, you know? And what is at play here? What's the war going on in my head? But you could be curious about being offended instead of lashing out and feeling like you're allergic to being offended.
Yeah. And I think it's also, there's such a difference between saying, oh, my feelings are hurt, and saying, my feelings are hurt, therefore, fuck you. You should lose your job. I mean, that's not just saying your feelings are hurt. That's trying to exert power and control over another person.
Yes.
There's such a huge difference. And there's this refrain now that if someone's offended, they're always right and intentions don't matter. But like, of course they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If someone's trying to make a joke, they're trying to make people laugh versus someone who's just like, saying racist shit because they're racist.
Right.
How is that not different?
It's
completely different.
And no one is asking what a person's intentions are.
No.
The second they get offended, they're just high up in the sky and about it. And high and mighty about it.
Yeah. And I'm an emotional person. I share my feelings, but that's different than someone. I think people look for things to be offended by because that makes them feel powerful. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not as successful as they'd like to be, but at least they can maybe take down somebody who is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I also feel like, for me, I mean, I think that toxic positivity is something that's been a big issue. I went through it with the ostomy, but even just like this whole movement of everything about your body is beautiful and everything about your face is beautiful. Nobody believes that.
I know. Right? It's such a, I talk about that horseshit a lot.
Yeah.
Body positivity drives me nuts, especially being someone in this industry where you literally see like a fiscal difference in a paycheck based on it. It's like, well, matters to fucking someone.
Exactly. I mean, for me, it's been way easier to just make jokes about the stuff that I'm insecure about because then like anything else, it takes away its power. Mm-hmm. I mean, this body positivity shit's been around for decades and decades, and people still hate their bodies. People still hate their faces. People still hate whatever. And I really think that you feel even worse when you feel like you're supposed to be able to be optimistic. So then you're judging yourself for that.
Right. Yeah. They're not even thinking about like, do you feel good in your body? Yes. Then fuck it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck it. That's it.
You don't have to be like, I love this. I love this. I'm like, no.
Also, we're missing the bigger point. A human body is one of the most incredible things on this fucking planet. Like your brain, the synapses and the nerves and you're going through a medical experience like that where your organ was half out.
Literally.
Like, holy shit. My body is capable of like doing some bad shit, but also like healing and like figuring out ways to kind of go around a hole in your colon. Like,
I know.
That's amazing.
I know. I literally didn't really know how the digestive system worked until I like really learned.
And you learned about like dopamine and your receptors and all this shit. And you're like, we are missing the point about bodies. We're just looking at, are you fat? Are you skinny? Like,
I think we're missing the point on a lot of things, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and so how I imagine, you know, getting a role on a Fox show, not a role, but like being a voice on a Fox show gets a lot of feedback from that.
Ooh, you do?
Yeah.
What has that experience been like? Both with people who are Fox viewers, people who are maybe like more liberal? Because I'm like, you identify, you're libertarian, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm absolutely libertarian. And it puts me in an interesting position because I mean, I just like small government, but that also means I'm very socially liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's a lot of the viewers who may not like that. Like I'm just like aggressively, for example, I'm aggressively pro drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
Like very much so. I'm pro choice. I'm stuff like that. And they'll go after me and I just like don't care. I believe what I believe.
Sure.
But then there's people on the other side who'll be like, oh, she works at Fox. Therefore, I know everything that I need to know about her. And it's like, Right. It's like, you don't actually. If you spent like 2 minutes around me, you would realize that it's not, I'm not, it's not what you think. I mean, it's kind of wild because everything is so hyper partisan now where you're either on one side or you're on the other side. Mm. And I'm just not. I think that there's crazy shit being said and done by both sides. I mean,
also,
people in
the
power
news in general, yeah. don't matter what the fucking network is, it's fear mongering on purpose.
Yeah.
It just is across the board.
Yeah, absolutely.
A 24-hour news cycle is fucking ridiculous. Like, yeah. the fact that we have those and we have multiple ones, it's like, we're not trying to make the population of Earth less stressed in
no.
any way.
And the show that I even do is different than anything else on Fox. It is a comedy show.
Well, Gutfeld is like one of the highest rated late night
yeah.
shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone was telling me about that the other day. I'm like, oh, fuck. That's
yeah.
great.
We've had like many weeks where we've been at number one, which
yeah.
is it's wild. Amazing. It's wild. And it's also it's different. I mean, he's more conservative than I am. He's still like, he's agnostic. You know, I'm agnostic. He's not like super socially conservative himself. But we've had like Roseanne on, but we've also had Marianne Williamson on.
Oh,
I mean,
shit.
It's been like quite the spectrum, but it has been interesting where I'm this individual who's on this show, but I don't feel like I am an individual because it's like, oh, she works at Fox.
Right.
Right. I think it's great. Like one of the reasons I really like you and I love following you is because I think you're doing like the hard work that no one wants to have you,
yeah.
which is having your own opinion on a network that is known for more like a certain extreme
yeah.
viewpoint. And like, that's where we really need a pro drag queen voice. We
yeah.
don't need a pro drag queen voice on Vox. Everyone
yeah.
already feels that way.
They're all pro drag queen. We get
it's,
it, yeah.
it's annoying. It's like, oh, we're patting ourselves on the back for being heroes for saying the thing that everyone already agrees with. Like, it's
well,
pathetic.
And it's, yeah. we need more examples in our society of civil discourse.
Yes.
Like when Bill Maher will have a guest on usually at the top of his show that somebody he doesn't agree with. And sometimes he's a little like, but I really like that. Like,
yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, two people on opposite ends of a belief system can talk to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, Greg, actually, he did Bill Maher's show. I mean, it's, well, first of all, I mean, I dress in drag every day, obviously. I mean, like, my bra that I'm wearing right now is so padded that Keith actually wore it when he did drag. I'm wearing hair extensions, the amount of makeup. I mean, it's also, what's the point of a platform for a platform's sake? Just to, like, be in this echo chamber and everyone tells you how great you are?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
A lot of people like that, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's like, but it's some of these people. I mean, I had, like, one comment. It's like, I was talking about how much I like RuPaul's Drag Race. And they were like, she should be fired. I'm like, but you're the same person who would turn around and call someone a snowflake for something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The hypocrisy is insane.
It's wild.
It's insane.
But there's people who won't even sit down and have a conversation with me because I work at Fox News.
Mm. Wow.
Which it's like, okay, well, all right.
But yeah, and I assume they don't know that you're the liberal voice on a show.
Yeah, I'm libertarian, very socially liberal. I'm like super pro immigration. I mean, the only thing I'm conservative on is like fiscal policy. I'm like really fiscally conservative and guns, other than that, I'm trying to think of another thing, but I'm just small government. The less government, the better for me. Mm. And I'm like, I'm very pro decriminalized sex work. I'm very, all these things that make people uncomfortable there. But then people are like, oh, she works at Fox, so she's a bad person. And this
right.
And that.
So you get
I'm
shit
like,
from
I'm
both.
Like, don't you work at a bank? Like, you know, like,
do you ever get like, cause some Fox News viewers are fucking nuts.
Sure.
I was raised by two of them and they're, my parents aren't my parents love Fox, but they're not. Some Fox News viewers are like, they'll like show up at your home kind of shit. So do you get like death threats?
Oh my gosh. I've had to put multiple people in jail. Yes.
In jail?
Yeah. One of them.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're all men, obviously.
Yeah. because it's like, I actually respect my dad's political views. He's always told me about them since I was a kid and I really respect that. And like, he kind of educated me on politics and stuff, but like, man, some of those folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Have nothing to lose in a way. And they feel like a loss of control. So I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's crazy people on all ends of the extreme, for sure. I think just being a woman on TV or a woman on the internet, like people are like, okay, well, it's like the incel shit and the crazy shit.
What happened with the guy that went to prison?
He's unfortunately out now, but he was, I think they're watching him pretty close. He had attempted kidnapping charges. So I'm like, he wasn't good at it. He didn't attempt to kidnap me, but somebody else. He was like he'd already done time in prison.
How did he get on your radar?
Because he was emailing me triple digits a day, videos and just obsessed.
He's done well.
Want to smash my sister's face in. And like, she doesn't even, she's like,
leave her out of this.
She's just, She like works in HR in Michigan. Like, leave her alone.
Oh,
like, she's fine.
Yeah. People are looking for a punching bag because they can't handle their own feelings.
Absolutely. And it's also, I mean, I've, because my views don't fit into either box, pretty much a lot of people struggle to have conversations with people they disagree with. I disagree with pretty much everyone on something.
Yeah, sure. Like, of course. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's people who are conservatives who are my friends. I also have people who are like super left-wing Marxists who are my good friends and everybody in between. And it's, there's people who won't have those conversations. And why?
Yeah, their lack of curiosity is disheartening.
Yeah, it's like, what do you think the Fox News building is like? Like, do you think, you know, like some of these people, like, do you think that everybody here believes the exact same thing?
Right.
And they don't. We don't.
Right. So often we'll get the comments, like feedback on this show specifically, where someone will write in, like, I disagree with like a lot of what you guys say, but I listen anyway. It's like, do you want a hero's award? Do you want a lapel pin? It's like, yeah, that's the way like life should be.
Yeah.
If you found some random like chick on the internet and you just agreed with everything that she said, you don't have your own critical thinking skills.
Exactly.
Like, we all should have pretty different points of view based on exactly how we lived our life and our experiences, but be open to learning things from others.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also, just because you say you like our show, I don't assume that means you agree with everything I say. That doesn't go hand in hand.
No, it doesn't. And then the reverse is the worst, where you get the mess, or I do, where it's like, I used to like you until.
Right.
Like,
yeah, we got it a lot.
Until this one thing that I said that you don't agree with, and now I'm dead to you.
Like, you don't represent me anymore.
After years,
Who said I was supposed to represent you?
Yeah. Right. After years, they'll turn their back on you because you said one thing that didn't fit into their made up moral structure.
Absolutely. Like, it's the dumbest stuff. I'll be like, yeah, I'll call people whatever pronouns they want to be called. And they're like, what? And I'm like,
What's
the point of not? You get
you're
one life to live.
Being rude and disrespectful on purpose,
dude. If you've one life to live, we're like you said, we're all gonna die. And if you're happy living life, where I call you they, then that's fine.
Yeah, that's great. If I can make you happy by calling you they,
that's great.
There you go.
I'm glad you're happy. Yeah, it doesn't affect me any. It's my views are just generally do whatever you want as long as nobody else is getting hurt.
Yeah, I think that as a society, we're really bad with effectively dealing with stress.
Yes.
If we were better at dealing with stress, then I think that all these I need a punching bag. You wouldn't want a punching bag because you're not stressed.
Yeah, I've seen things on TV and in podcasts where I've been like, oh, I really don't like what that person said. I've never told them.
I don't think I have
it
either.
Is possible.
I know it is.
Crazy?
It is.
You can dislike what somebody says and then you shut the fuck up.
Just keep living your life.
Yeah. It's
wild.
I mean, people didn't, this is just new, like relatively new. Uh-huh. People used to have to mail letters.
Yeah.
Right.
And then someone would like handle your mail.
I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, email. We didn't always have it and we got shit done. Fucking, I wish we could go back to that.
There's a whole book I was reading about that, A World Without Email.
Ugh,
it actually, it's kind of like the argument is that we are really not any more productive because emails are like you're doing things in such small pieces that you're constantly checking emails instead of actually getting the work done. And the checking emails makes you think that you did work, but you didn't do any work.
You just answered emails
and basically delegated the work to others who are also not going to do it.
Yeah, it's that's
because they're too busy checking their email.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that we are, and I think we also have a communication problem. And again, you know, that's really what my book is about, because for me, comedy has been a sort of religion to me. And that's what my last chapter is about. I was raised like super, super Catholic, like really Catholic.
Ooh,
like
Catholic.
Very
that can fuck a motherfucker up.
Very Catholic.
What flavor are we talking about? Like what
Polish.
Were the beliefs?
We had St. Benedict medals over all the doors. Whoa. The devil wouldn't get in. I wouldn't play with the Ouija board. I was afraid the devil was gonna get me. I mean, so my mom was mostly really Catholic, but she's also really vulgar. It was quite interesting.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, but she was like very serious about this stuff. But I believed it. So like I would go to confession and I would like say what my sins were. Like even when I started masturbating, like at that end, like you know how weird that is.
Yeah.
When you're like in middle school and you're like telling this guy, I felt because I thought I was gonna go to hell.
That's right. So fucking weird. The concept of confession for children is actually disgusting.
I lived that, and then you know I'm no longer religious, and
also they think drag queens damage kids. How about a fucking priest waiting to hear about you masturbating? That's a little more damaging. You know?
Totally. Look, I think back and I'm like, I wrote about this in my diary and I was so scared that I was going to. And I write about this in the last chapter of my book where I was like, I think that's so messed up. They literally tell you if you masturbate and then you get in a car accident on your way to confession, you're going to hell. Like, anyway, you're telling that to me and I'm a child.
So much more damaging to children than a drag queen.
It's crazy. Oh, God. Oh, God. But I mean, but if you think about it, the way we're treating the standard for what you can and can't say in comedy is actually stricter than Leviticus right now, which is like not a chill book. It's very fire like and brimstone it. Because it says an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
But with
eye for an eye, that's so fucking toxic.
But with comedy, it's worse because it's like, I don't think anybody could honestly tell you the worst thing that they've been through is having to hear a joke they didn't like.
Correct.
But some people would say the worst thing that they've been through is telling a joke that was wrong in the eyes of the wrong people.
Like it completely destroyed their career.
It completely destroyed their career, their lives.
What happens when a comedian, and this happens across the board, when a comedian does something that the public deems crosses the line in any way, in any level, that comedian is subject to verbal threats on their life.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten rape threats, death threats. I've had the photo of the outside of my apartment building tweeted at me. I'm like, so this isn't worse than what I, are you fucking?
I know.
What is happening?
But you're like the good person because you're fighting up against this thing someone said, this joke somebody made.
It's all ego-based. Calling a comic out is so controlling and so ego-based and so it's so like everything's wrong with it, but the person doing it just doesn't see that.
Yeah. And comedy, again, it's healing. It brings people together. It, you know, can add meaning to experiences. I mean, like a lot of the ones we've talked about, it boosts, you know, your serotonin. It brings people closer.
Yeah.
You can send memes to your friends and that brings you closer, but also
Laughing with a group is healing.
Yeah. And a comedy show is just someone standing up there with a microphone talking about life and everybody's gathered there to listen to it.
Yeah.
And I just, it's the way I've dealt with everything. And I feel like it's really kind of being threatened right now, and not in the way that people talk about it, where it's just like, oh, you know, it's people on the left can't handle jokes. And there is definitely something to that, but I'm talking about everything. Yeah. I'm talking about everybody because everybody has something that really will bother them to hear someone joke about.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, so the fuck what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because what's worse is to not feel like you can make jokes that might help you and that might help someone else, or you might need to get through a tough time.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm just saying that, Chappelle. I was like, what a moment. We'll leave it. Can you actually, I want to talk a little bit more about being libertarian because I think it's one of those political affiliations that is a lot of people roll their eyes at, which then annoys me because I don't really think that you have these people who are rolling their eyes or immediately not paying attention to anything you say because you said you were a libertarian. Mm-hmm. It is annoying and close-minded. These people who are supposedly so open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I am talking about liberals. It's mostly you who are doing it.
Yeah.
because it's interesting because, you know, I'm not like super well-versed in libertarian viewpoints, but anytime I hear someone talk, I go, this doesn't sound bad or crazy. Can you expand besides small government, some of the things that are important to you as a libertarian?
Totally. I feel like also a lot of people call themselves libertarians when they're really not. Mm. So I feel like it can get kind of used and abused that way.
Yeah.
It's basically just the individual rights, the right of the individual to make their own decisions, but also be responsible for themselves. It doesn't mean that you don't care about certain issues like homelessness or, you know, poverty. It just means you don't trust that the government is the best way to handle that.
Mm, okay.
They don't have a great track record.
They don't have a great track record. So I just don't trust the government. And also in foreign policy, I'm super non-interventionist. I'm super anti-war. My husband, he was in Afghanistan. And our first date, I was like, the war, like, you fought it, like, for why? And he was like, I agree with you. He said that as somebody who went there. And then look at what happened. Yeah. I mean, with like all that money and all that time and all those lives fell apart.
You realize like when anybody goes to war for their country, they have to be persuaded and convinced. And it's like, I bet if you asked any soldier in any war, it's like, do you really
Yeah. Dying for your cut. Like, is that really what matters to you, or is that sold to you?
I mean, a lot of it has been the government lies to us about how well things are going in certain wars. And like, you can't say, but if you say, oh, you know, I don't know if we should be over there, then you're not patriotic.
Well, exactly. It's like, that kind of goes really under the umbrella of things you can't even talk about, because it's like, you're not saying that you don't feel for these mostly, you know, young men, but also young women who are going there and giving their lives for the country. But I think like you need to be able to stop and ask, but why did they have to sacrifice their life to begin with?
Yeah, why were they put in that position by their government?
Unfortunately, the military industrial complex makes a lot of money. But I feel like also just if I had to sum it up quickly, I'd be like free markets and no judges would be my views. Because I mean, I'm for decriminalizing sex work. I'm like very pro-ho. Mm-hmm. I'm for decriminalizing all drugs. I mean, your pregnancy is not my business, all of those kinds of things. So it's, you know, free markets, no judges, the right of the individual to make the decisions for themselves, right of free association, all that kind of stuff, which is very, people say libertarian is just conservatives who, you know, smoke weed. It's like, no, it's not. It's
what are your views on like jails?
Yeah. So I think that we have like a huge over-incarceration problem, right? Yeah. I think that anybody who, not to me, nonviolent drug offenses aren't crimes.
That's insane.
Those, even like if you're a dealer, like that's an economy. I feel like if you think that, you know, market forces don't apply when it comes to drugs, just because you think drugs are bad, that doesn't mean, then you're not a capitalist. I mean, people, if they want to buy drugs, they should be able to buy drugs at a bodega, and you make that own choice and you deal with your own consequences. But putting someone in jail for something they've decided to put into their own body is crazy. And a lot of people don't know their own rights either, which is why the chapter of this book, it's not really a chapter, but this whole book is about, you know, speech and speech and speech. And then I just added like the little appendix that you also have the right not to speak, just a PSA, and it's just advice for interactions with police officers.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
Like, a lot of people don't know that. The cops will say, like, okay, you know, if you talk to me now, that's the best thing for it. Nope.
Yeah, never trust them.
Never.
You don't like legally lie to you.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, they could kill you and it's fine.
Yeah. I have all, like, that's the end of my book. You've been stopped by the police in public. You've been arrested. A lot of people don't know their rights in that sense.
Fuck, man.
So that's like what being a libertarian is. But again, a lot of people just say that. And I think the biggest misconception is that people who are libertarian don't care about people who are struggling with things. It's just that you don't think the government has all the answers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Because when have they been great?
No, it's like, we live in New York. We pay so many taxes. And like, where does it go?
Right. Yeah. Every time I drive over a pothole, I'm like, fucking Eric.
Where does it go exactly?
My question, like based on what you just said, would less be like, oh, you don't care. And it would more be like, I totally agree with you. And I have the confidence that I can live my life based on my own decisions. But then you remember all the absolute morons that you know, and like how their mistakes would then go on to impact your life. And like, what about those people who like truly do not have the tools to control
like an addiction and then
their own life for whatever the reason?
Yeah, I totally get that.
But that's like natural selection. They die off.
But they could also kill you because they're drunk behind the wheel or, you know, that kind of a thing.
In America,
I feel like you need protection. I mean, certainly in my life, that's who I feel like I need protection from. It's not myself. It's other people.
Yeah. Right. I also feel like with the way things are now, it's not like it's going great. I mean, like these people, I'm thinking of all those people in my life and I'm like, they're still fucking up pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I think obviously it would be private. Would need to, and you know, when we got public assistance, it would need to be private. And the capitalism we have now is crony capitalism. It's like corporations are just an extension of the government, basically. Everyone's doing favors
and
for each other.
Monopolies are illegal. No, it's they're like, fucking not.
No.
When Facebook bought Instagram, and I was like, there's so many examples of these companies buying so many other companies, and you're like, no one's gonna.
Yeah.
Say anything,
and, well, also, how do you go into government? You're supposed to be a public servant. But how do you all get so rich?
You get
so rich.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the government is clearly not working in terms of actually helping people because they want to stay in power. I mean, that's the way humans
power
are.
Power corrupts. It's a human truth. Power almost always corrupts.
And I also when I think of what's moral and what's not moral, I think that things that are illegal, things that people are not allowed to do, it's actually immoral to not let people make these choices for themselves with the one life that they have. Yeah.
I actually agree with that. I think that's like something that I've been kind of trying to undo, like the difference between like right and wrong. It's like, that's just something we kind of arbitrarily decided. I don't know, like who really told you, like who's making that decision?
Right.
Yeah. You don't know.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, so many people who are in jail for things that are don't hurt anybody except sure. themselves.
Sure.
And also, it's not like that's a deterrent. Like the reason I don't smoke crack is not because crack's illegal. It's because right. it's because I finally just kicked vaping after like 8 years of breathing more vape than air. I don't think crack would be a good move for myself. Like I think I'm living a very different life. And I think most people who don't smoke crack, it's not just because like, oh, I would love to get some crack.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And it keeps people down. And I think
also we don't have respect for drugs. We use drugs to escape without understanding what they do to our bodies. And I read this book written by this professor who like will do heroin, like microdose heroin.
Oh, I know Carl Hart.
Yes.
I know him.
I fucking
yes.
love that book.
I love Carl Hart.
I love that book. Yeah. Cause he's like, you don't fucking know.
Right.
Like, yes, smoking crack is not the best way to ingest it, and the amount that people do is way too much. But when you use drugs as an escape or as a band-aid, that's where – and that's what 99% of the population does.
He was actually on the Gutfeld show. It was us and then Harris Faulkner and then one of the hosts of Fox and Friends.
Nice.
And Greg, and we were all talking about drugs.
Yeah.
And
– he said microdosed heroin, and I was like, wait,
he
what?
Does. He's like –
tell
he's
me more.
Like,
that's really interesting.
Yeah. He's like, there's – you know, sometimes you're just sitting by the fire, you do a little line of heroin with your wife, and it's like – it doesn't sound like my business if that's what you want to do with your wife. I actually was on Fox for a segment about him where it had like the dun 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 music.
Oh, yeah, because they were
And they were like, Columbia professor does heroin. And like cuts to me, and I was like, I think that's fine. Like, it sounds like his business.
Columbia professor.
Exactly.
This motherfucker isn't some Joe Schmo bullshitter.
Yeah, like, isn't it crazy that he's teaching kids he does heroin? I'm like, I think it's crazier that people get locked up for doing this if they're not hurting anybody. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, if you can do heroin but and be an Ivy League professor, then why? I'm not going to tell you to stop doing heroin.
Right. Right.
It's also like, have you ever met a Columbia student? Like kids, you know, they don't need, we need protection from them. The most fucking obnoxious people on the planet. I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on this show.
Thank you so much. It's been so great to be here.
Yeah.
I love you. Having you on. And this conversation was great.
So obviously pick up Kat's book if you're open to a voice that's not your own, which, you know, you guys have been on watch for that for a while, so you can't joke about that. Kat Timpf is in stores now, right?
Yes.
We're already out, and we can watch you on Gutfeld.
Yes.
And we can follow you online.
Yes, at Kat Timpf, Instagram, all social platforms, and I'm going to be doing some shows in Chicago and DC. So
awesome.
Yay. Link in my bio for everything.
Yay. Amazing. Thank you so much for being here today. Congrats on the book. This has been Guys We Fuck, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary, created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson. Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
Against the mind.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.